I'm going to go ahead and do the scripture reading on the back of the bulletin. I'm going to read it in English. Scripture, Nehemiah 6, 15 through 19. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son, Jehohanan, had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me.
ネヘミヤ記6章15節から19節を読みします。こうして城壁は52日かかって、エルルの月の25日に完成した。私たちの敵が皆これを聞いたとき、私たちの周りの諸国民は皆恐れ、大いに面目を失った。この工事が私たちの神によってなされたことを知ったからである。またその頃、ユダの主だった人々は、トビアのところに頻繁に手紙を送っており、トビアも彼らに返事をしていた。それはトビアがアラフの子、シェカヌヤの婿であり、またトビアの子ヨハナンもベレクヤの子メシュラムの娘を妻にめとっていたので、彼と誓いを立てていた者がユダの中に大勢いたからである。彼らはまた私の前でトビアの善行を語り、私の言うことを彼に伝えていた。トビアは私を脅そうとたびたび手紙を送ってきた。
Just a quick announcement. We have these prayer cards in the back. If you need prayer, please fill this out. And we'd love to pray for you. In fact, talking to a colleague of mine, asking him what he thought about, you know, what's the correlation between answered prayer and righteousness? Is there a correlation between that? And, you know, we weren't sure. We don't have the answer, but, you know, the Bible tells us the prayers of a righteous person avail as much. It's powerful that a righteous person prayer is powerful. If you want to test my righteousness, fill these out and see how many of them gets fulfilled. No, but we do would like to see prayers answered, right? Mm-hmm. And more frequently. I think that should be maybe not a goal, but something we can mark. Hey, we see more prayers answered. That's a good sign, I think. Especially if we're praying for Mercedes Benz and house. No, just kidding. Those aren't the things we want to be praying for. But we certainly do want to pray for you. So please fill these out, give them back to me. And there's a prayer team here, and they would love to be praying for you as well. Today we're going to look at the completion of the wall. And I have this, the rebuilding of the wall / a lesson in spiritual warfare. The Bible uses several metaphors, similes, analogies to describe the Christian walk. I use all those words because I don't know which one this is, but I certainly love the analogy of when the Bible uses combat sports. And the Bible uses combat sports, if you're not aware of that, like wrestling, boxing. Those are some of my favorite ones to draw upon, because for me, walking with God oftentimes feels like I'm getting beat up. I don't know about you, but Some of you, it may seem more like a marathon. Walking with God may seem like a marathon for you. It's just really hard, grueling. But the Bible uses these analogies and metaphors and similes to describe the Christian walk just because it's not easy. It's not easy. In fact, it's painful and difficult at times. And we see that with the life of Nehemiah, how painful and difficult it was for him. In the book of Nehemiah, for those of us who may not be familiar, there's two major portions in the book. The first is the rebuilding of the wall. And we come to the end of this here today at chapter 6, the end of chapter 6. The second part is the renewal of the people. And I believe Nehemiah came to do both, not just to rebuild the city, but rebuild the city as in the people who represents the city. Because the city and the church is simply not just buildings. Although that's important. It consists of people. And I don't think, and I think Nehemiah knew that. And so when he said, I want to go back to rebuild the ruined cities, he wasn't simply talking about rebuilding a wall, gate, houses, but rebuilding the people. And we'll see that in the second part of Nehemiah. But here, as the close of the first part of the section of Nehemiah, it's interesting how it closes. In verse 17, it says, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah. And for those of us who aren't familiar with Tobiah, that is one of the sworn enemies of Israel. Him, Sanballat, and some other people were a thorn in Nehemiah's side. Anyways, but there were nobles of Judah, sworn enemies of Judah, but there were nobles of Judah sending letters to Tobiah. And Tobiah's letters came to them. They were corresponding. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, his son. Basically, it's saying they were family. They were bound by oath and they were family. They intermarried. And I don't know if the oath were spoken out loud or whether it was just an unspoken thing. Because we're family, we're going to stick together. I'm not sure. Also, they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid. That's how the first part of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the wall, closes. What an interesting way it closes. To finish the story, the rebuilding of the wall, you might think it's time to celebrate. We just did a monumental task. Let's celebrate. That's not recorded. In fact, what's recorded is what some scholar called intrigue. You know, just spying and just a lot of undercutting, if you will, within the ranks. But that's not something new within Nehemiah's story. Now, for those of us who've been here throughout the teaching of Nehemiah, we know that ever since Nehemiah came into Jerusalem, there were people trying to undermine it, trying to prevent the wall from going up. They started off with ridiculing it. Then they began threatening him. Then they try to send letters to confuse him. And at the same time, there are people within Judah, within Israel, who were price gouging, if you will, the people who were trying to rebuild. There was enemies without, there was enemies within, and here we see a new enemy, an enemy of intrigue. People within going out and letting that in. Needless to say, this was a very fierce blow to Nehemiah. I'm sure there were days when Nehemiah felt like he was being beaten up. Now he's being beaten up not just by his enemies. He's getting beaten up by people within, and he's getting beaten up by noble peoples of Judah. When it comes to walking with God, it's not supposed to be this way, but it is this way at times. It's gonna feel like you're getting beaten up. Anyone feel that way at times? It's gonna feel like you're getting beaten up. What do I mean by that? For each and every one of us, I think it looks different. For students, it might mean looking almost archaic to your peers. Really? You believe in the Bible? You believe in a God? Really? Those are your values? And they might start mocking you, ridiculing you. In the workplace, it might mean doing the right thing, having integrity, speaking for what's right. For some of you, it may mean not being able to participate with some groups because all they do is gossip. If you're a mom and there's a group of moms that just gets together and gossips, and those are the cool ladies of the neighborhood, it might mean you can't join in with that. Because of our convictions. Because we're walking with God. There's going to be things we have to say no to. There's going to be things we have to speak up against. Jokes we can't laugh at. Even calling out people on their jokes. Not that we're judgmental and we want to lord it over people, but certainly be decent people. I have that problem all the time when I hang out with some of my friends. They're good friends. They're not Christians. And I say they're good friends because they have not kicked me out of their group yet, you know? Well, I guess we're bound by oath because some of them are my brothers. And early on, you know, we'd go back and forth like brothers do and like immature spiritual Christians may go. But that's something that costs us when we walk with God. It cost Nehemiah walking with God to rebuild the wall. He could have submitted. He could have compromised. He could have let the price gouging go just as long as the wall is built. You know, people are still doing their work. Let's let her go. He could have stopped the work altogether. You know, well, we have the altar and the temple up. Isn't that good enough? He could have been distracted. He could have done all of these things that the enemy tries to prevent him from finishing what God called him to do, but he didn't. And when I say spirituality sometimes is like a combat sport, and the Apostle Paul uses analogies like boxing and wrestling, did you know that you could hit Satan back? And I gotta be clear, when I say hit Satan back, not hit who Satan is using back, you know, but hit Satan back. Jesus is no way advocates for violence. Although sometimes it may be easier, you know, to get through some difficulties by violence, but that's not what he calls for. And so how do we engage in spiritual warfare? Certainly if it's not fist fighting, then what does it look like? What does spiritual warfare look like? How can we get back at the enemy? Who wants to get back at the enemy? Does anyone want to punch the enemy in the face? Yes, okay, good. Good, because he's been punching you in the face for a very long time. And he's hoping you do nothing about it. He's just wishing you would stop. But there is a way to fight back. You know, it was a while back. I was doing some. I was going to a boxing gym. You know, Noah, he wanted to learn boxing, and so me and him, we went to a boxing gym and we started learning how to box. We kind of did some sparring session in my backyard a couple times. I think he almost concussed me once, but that's another story. But it was actually empowering learning how to physically fight, because I never learned how to physically fight. And although I'm, I guess, a bigger person for an Asian person, I was never like one of wanting, I was never like a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter, I guess, you know. But taking those boxing lessons was actually really empowering. Even in my dreams, I remember a dream where, you know, it was a situation where it might turn to violence, and I wasn't scared. I was almost like, all right, yes, I could test my boxing now. It was like, it was just very empowering that I knew how to defend myself. And hopefully, as we look through Nehemiah's story here, that perhaps this could empower you. That we don't need to be afraid of Satan. We don't need to be afraid of enemies. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual forces in this world. How do we do that? How did Nehemiah do that? In verse 15, it says, "So the wall was complete on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." This was a blow that shattered the enemy's confidence. When you talk about fighting in warfare, one of the key things you need is confidence. If you don't have that, the battle is 50% lost. A lot of people felt Mike Tyson was a champion for so long because people, when they got in the ring with him, were so scared to fight. 50% lost already. Here, the enemy self-confidence shattered. How was it shattered? It says the wall was built. The wall was built. How was the wall built? I believe it was through Nehemiah's faith, which became faithfulness. It was his faith continued, which equals faithfulness. Our faith and faithfulness is a shattering blow to the enemy, a confident shattering blow to the enemy. You know, the enemy never respected Nehemiah. The day he came to Jerusalem, there was mocking, there was fighting, there was intimidating, and the enemy kept coming and coming and coming to Nehemiah, hoping he would just give up and quit and go back to his cushy, comfortable job being a cupbearer for the king. But he doesn't quit. I'm sure it was painful. I'm sure there were days he wanted to go back. But he didn't quit. You know, in our lives, the enemy is going to push, punch, intimidate, hoping we would quit. Hoping we'll say, you know what, forget church. I'm done. You know what, Jesus, I've been walking with you for so long. I'm done. You know what, it's too crazy today, let's just forget about it. Let's just watch some NFL football, golf, NASCAR. Any NASCAR guys here? Let's watch NASCAR, the cooking show. I don't know what it is, you know. But sometimes it's too hard. I don't feel good enough. The morning is just too rough. It's kind of too cold to get out of bed. It's getting colder here. Let's quit. You know, there's too many people that don't like me. Let's quit. There's too many people making fun of me. Let's quit. the professor just told me there is no such thing as God, and if the professor is going to tell me, maybe he's right. Let's quit. My mom just told me that I'm crazy. Let's quit. You know, some of us, we battle with that, with families, own family members. The enemy doesn't fight fair. He'll use whoever he can use to try to get you to quit. Notice here, though, the completion of the wall. Did you notice how many days it took? Only 52 days. That's actually not a long time. That's really fast. 52 days. Man, when I was living in LA, I remember they were working on this freeway for like 10 years or something. Like literally 10 years. This wall was built in 52 days. 52 days is not a long time. Looking back at it, Nehemiah probably just said, wow, it was only 52 days. But I'm sure it might have felt like 52 years for him because of it was a stress-filled 52 days. You know, completing the task of God, whatever God called us to, and God called you to something. I believe that. He's called each and every one of you to something. It's never going to be easy if God called you to it. It's never going to be easy. And actually, at first, it might be very exciting. Faith at first is really exciting. But sometimes it might take a while before that faith becomes realized. And during that time, what's going to be needed is what's called faithfulness. Faithfulness is being consistent. Being consistent. What does that look like in your life? For me, it might look like, well, you know, I started a Bible study, so even though I don't want to be there, let me continue to do it. There are times like that for me. For you, it will be something else. What does faithfulness look like to you? What has God called you to do, and what has He asked you to be faithful in? You know, it's interesting because it's not that hard to be faithful in things God hasn't called us to do, right? You know, for me, growing up, it was so easy to be consistently at the basketball court, every day even. Especially if there's a game. If it was a game, I'm there early, I'm excited. Except for my last basketball league. My life lasts because you guys want to know. So, you know, I'm a big basketball fan. Guy, not no more, I used to be. And I miss being on a basketball team. That was just one of the joys of my life is to be on a basketball team. To play with a bunch of guys, to have people like high-five you and encourage you. Like, you don't get that anywhere else. Like, as guys, we don't like encourage each other as much. Women, I think, are more encouraging just to be encouraging, you know. You could be in a group and having guys, when we have like lunch and stuff, we're not encouraging each other. We're not saying, hey, good job, you know, stuff like that. We do that, and I got that when I was on the basketball court. Like, people would be like, good job, blah, 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 you know, great pass. And I missed that. I didn't, you know, and so like 2 years ago, two years ago now, there was a league at the JCC. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to sign up for it. I'll be a free agent. Free agent means a team will pick you up to play. I get a call back and said, hey, there's enough people on the free agents list to make your own team. Would you like to make your own team? And I said, okay, sure, why not? I just want to play basketball. So I made my own team, a ragtag team. Some of these guys, you know, this might have been their first actual league they played in. And we're literally playing against at least college basketball players. In the first game, we lost by 50. And I'm saying, oh, this must be the best team on the league, you know. We lost by 50. The second week, we lost again by 50. Like, and then every week, we'd lose by 50. Every week. The first time, I did not want to show up to a basketball game. I dreaded Thursdays. I was like, oh, we have to play basketball again. Never had that in my life. Perhaps God called me to make that leap, and he called me to be faithful. And I showed up every week taking a butt whooping. No one got saved on my team. I did get to share my faith a little bit with people. But that's what it's going to take sometimes. Take a butt whooping and see very little fruit at times. But let me tell you, whenever you're faithful to what God called you to do, it will shatter the enemy's confidence. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. You stay faithful in where you've been called to. And eventually that's going to be a KO punch to the enemy, which will shatter his confidence. Why is this person so faithful? Why is she still showing up to church? Why does she still read her Bible? Why is she praying for the same thing she's been for 40 years? Why is Nehemiah still here? Even the noble people, even people in his own group are talking about him now. Why is Nehemiah still here? The wall rebuilt, Nehemiah, first part of his calling fulfilled, KO punch to the enemy, and Nehemiah's not finished yet. In our lives, we can KO the enemy if we don't quit. The end of the book, the Bible, Jesus wins. Who loses? If you give up, don't give up. Don't quit. As hard as it may get, don't quit. God is going to make each and every one of us more than conquerors when he's through with us. And we could hit the enemy back for every time he got us. Isn't that a good feeling? Get him back for every time he got us. Let us pray. You know, the enemy, you know, he goes by a lot of different names, Satan, the devil. He would love nothing more than if we would fall short of what God called us to do. But I want us to remind us of this, that our faith isn't in ourselves. Let me just repeat that again. Our faith isn't in ourselves. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. He will bring us through. His faithfulness will bring us through. Put our faith in him. Put your faith in him. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We know, Lord, for some of us, it's not easy. Lord, we've come here sometimes just beat up by the world, by our peers, even by our friends, our family members. We pray, Father, that you would remind us that in the end, you win. Our faithfulness is in you, Lord. We thank you so much that you've been so faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.